Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the North Shore 9 post-game show powered by Primanti Brothers. I'm Jim. With me is Doug. Doug, we've got another thriller today. The Pirates win in extra innings 9-7 to complete the sweep of the Miami Marlins. Everybody, hashtag raise it. You know the drill by now. Put that hashtag raise it in the comments for your chance at a free sandwich. But Doug, how are we doing? Happy Easter, by the way.
Hey, happy Easter to you. Happy Easter to everybody out there. I mean, I know the Pirates victory is impressive, but I also want to mention that you, Jim, are 2-0 on postgame shows this year. So that's a pretty impressive streak. I know Neil is undefeated. I know I'm undefeated. I can't remember how anybody else is doing, but This whole series has kind of been indicative, really, of what we expected from this season, right? Shaky starting pitching, outstanding bullpen, and a lineup now that's got some guys that can hit and some depth to it. And we sort of saw that in each game. And, I mean, hey, we're following the script. The results have been great. I'm trying to temper my enthusiasm. As I remember last year, I think on, I don't know, it was like April 30th, I was talking about how good this team was, and then you and I went to Tampa. You know, so
yeah, let's not bring up that.
Certainly encouraged.
let's not bring that up. But no, I mean, this you couldn't ask for a better start to the season, right? I mean, 4-0, you sweep the Marlins on the road. You even win this is just stealing this game, absolutely stealing this game. You start Bailey Falter, you're putting out your Sunday lineup. You've got Telez in there against the lefty. You've got Alika Williams in there at shortstop. Jason DeLay behind the plate. You know, maybe not a game that you would necessarily expect a huge, a great result from. And based off of the way that it started, you know, it definitely didn't seem like a game that we were going to get a very good result from. And we'll get into that here in a bit. But the Pirates just, man, the battling Buccos. I mean, that's really all I can say. They fell behind hard in this game. I mean, they were down 5-0 after one inning. They immediately climbed back into it and just kind of clawed away, and finally broke through. You know, they blew the save there in the ninth, but came through in the tenth to win it. Just an outstanding game. It's a real testament to just like these guys play hard. And you know what? They're pretty good. Like there are some pieces on this team that are good, and they are helping this team win ball games. Everybody, like 1 through 26, and maybe 1 through 25. We'll get to the number 26. Man,
there was that one fella today that didn't have, yeah. But right, everybody else is contributing. I mean, like you said, you saw that lineup today. You thought, all right, we're giving a game away, right? I mean, that was the just. Only, and then you go through the, you know, bottom of the first and you're like, yes, we've given this game away. And you still had hope because, again, the team has scored, I think, an average of 7 runs a game. So you're not giving up. And they have been, you know, through the first 3 games and then again today, a scrappy, just keep, you know, adding on tech, adding a few here. getting through the starter and to that bullpen. That bullpen is just, you know, worn out by now. And I mean, really, it's just, it's a great recipe, you know, for success. And they followed the recipe to the T all weekend long.
Yeah, they did. And I want to start with, let's start with how they kind of grabbed that lead. And then we'll kind of work our way from there. So in the top of the seventh, they're down 6-4. Gutierrez on the mound for the Marlins, who, you know, hadn't really been looking sharp lately. And the Marlins just called him up. This was his first appearance. They clearly just needed an arm for today, and they rode Gutierrez, you know, for as long as they possibly could today. But that seventh inning, let's kind of talk about that, because like I said, 6-4. First off, the Pirates bullpen put them in a place to where they could really stage a comeback here. But 6-4, Ke'Bryan Hayes leads off the inning with a walk. Edward Olivares with a single. And then Sawinski and Triolo both get out. Sawinski flies out. Triolo strikes out. And then you got Rowdy Tellez, who steps up to the plate. And Rowdy Tellez was not having a very good ball game today. Not necessarily his best game. I think up to this point, he was 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts. Is that correct? I'm going back. Yes. So
yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
In his fourth appearance, he's 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts, and he just puts up a hell of an at bat. Saw a ton of pitches, strike one, ball one, ball one, ball two, strike two, ball three. So he, you know, got the count full after 5 pitches, but then he fouls off 3 straight pitches, and then Gutierrez finally made a mistake. And you know, they called it on the broadcast too. They were like, if you just keep doing this, you just keep doing this, you keep fighting, you're going to eventually get a mistake. And Gutierrez just a 94 mile an hour meatball right down the middle of the plate. And Rowdy Tellez did not miss it. 3-run homer to give the Pirates a 7-6 lead, 425 feet off the bat. You could tell he was excited. He was pretty happy. He was having a rough. So pretty awesome moment for Tellez.
Yeah, it's I mean, I think you guys said it on Starbucks or NS9 Live. It 2 years ago, he had a really good season. Last year, he was having a good season, and then he got hurt. And then he stunk the rest of the way. But it seems like that might have been because of the injury. He's a professional hitter. He's not a player without flaws by no means, but again, he was starting against the lefty, so it's not shocking that he struggled a little there early. But he's got big boy power. I mean, that was a bomb there, you had said it. I think Greg Brown had the words had just come out of his mouth. He'd said that, he's going to make a mistake sooner or later. And then, boom, it's up, it's there. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't just, Rowdy Tellez. Like I said, it's Ke'Bryan Hayes. It's, Olivares, who looked terrible all spring, has just mashed lefties like sort of his resume has indicated, but he wasn't mashing anybody springtime. So again, it's with the way that Ke'Bryan Hayes and Brian Reynolds are just sort of dominating, right? Playing lights out. And now if you can just get these other guys just to chip in here and there, it's driving averaging over 7 runs a game. They'd said on the radio broadcast that we have scored the least runs in this decade so far. So to see the Pirates putting up 7 runs, 8 runs, 9 runs is really, really exciting. So, again, it's not just Brian Reynolds and McCutchen. It's everybody is kicking in. Ke'Bryan Hayes in particular is just, watching this is just spectacular. What he's doing is just fantastic. So,
yeah, again, I mean, you talk about the offense, right? I mean, 6 runs in game 1, 7 in game 2, 9 in game 3, and then 9 today. So like these guys are scoring and they're doing it. Like we talked about how much power this team has, but they actually did it a lot the series without power. I think they hit 4 home runs total for the series, 3 on opening day and then 1 today. I don't think they had any the previous 2 games. But yeah, they're getting it done. They're having really good at bats. Someone here in the comments mentioned that the Marlins announcers kind of said that, here, Thomas, here, I'll put the comment back up. Marlins broadcaster said the Pirates are annoying, right? A lot of long at bats, scoring with 2 outs. And that's really, I think that was the difference in this series. Like the Pirates were having really good at bats against these Marlins pitchers. They were getting the starters out early. They were making them throw a ton of pitches. They were getting to that Marlins bullpen. I mean, that Marlins bullpen was gassed like this whole series. Like they were relied on to pitch a lot of innings. And when you force your opponent to make their bullpen throw as many innings as the Pirates forced the Marlins to do this series, that's when you can do the type of damage that this team did.
Right. Yeah. At one point yesterday, the Marlins had thrown 173 pitches, I think, and the Pirates had thrown 104. And if you're going to have that kind of discrepancy game to game, you know, and it doesn't have to even be that dramatic, but right, you're going to get through, you're going to get those starters out of there. You're going to get to that bullpen and, you know, that's going to get games 2, 3, and 4 or whatever that is really going to, you know, that difference is going to show. And it did today, right? You said Gutierrez was pitching and, you know, he'd thrown over 75 pitches. That's not what you expect from a reliever, but they didn't have anybody else. And that's, you know, the difference.
Yeah. Let's fast forward to extra innings. So David Bednar blows the save in the 9th, gives up a home run to Nick Gordon, of all people. Fast forward to the 10th. We'll talk about Bednar here in a bit. But fast forward to that 10th inning, O'Neill Cruz pinch runs for Tellez. So he starts on second base. And this is where O'Neill Cruz is just an absolute game changer, right? You put that speed on second base that he has, and then they immediately followed that up with an Alika Williams bunt, perfectly placed. Williams ends up, you know, actually getting to first on it. Jason DeLay, another perfect bunt, safety squeeze with Cruz.
Beautiful.
Beautiful bunt. Cruz, perfect base running, timed it perfectly, gets in before the tag. So they score that run there in the 10th, and then they add on, just again, going back to just how pesky and how good they are at drawing these walks and seeing a lot of pitches. Hayes gets an infield single, then there's another walk, and then Michael A. Taylor walks in a run with the bases loaded to give the Pirates a 2-run lead in extra innings. And that extra run when you're the away team, like when you score that first run, it's like, okay, like, I feel like we're even at that point, right? You almost have to expect that you're going to give up a run in the bottom half. So exactly. Like that second run is so huge. So the fact that they got that and they went into that bottom half with a 2-run lead, that was massive. But yeah, it was just a very well played inning of small ball. Like I don't think they hit the ball out of the infield that whole inning. They scored 2 runs.
And you know, again, this team is not, for all the things it's done well in this series, it's not sort of executed on the base pass, you know, and things very well. So to do that, to score that way was nice to see, given how we've, you know, I don't know, had 11 guys thrown out at home, you know, in the series so far. So yeah, it was, fundamentally sound baseball. I remember last year, we didn't have anybody that get a bunt down. We didn't have anybody that could get a bunt down, and we had back-to-back beautiful bunts today. So from guys who you don't really expect much in the way of contribution. So, and like I said, getting that second run, I mean, that had to give Hunter Stratton a much better feeling. That's like, all right, I don't even have to worry about the guy at second. I just got to go get 3 outs. It'll be fine, you know. And, it's like I said, there's just no better way to start the season, right? I mean,
it's fun.
A lot of really good things. You scored in, you know, different ways. Each game somebody got, you know, we had a first major league save for Hernandez, first win for Ryan Rider, save for Hunter Stratton. Yeah, I hate his name. Ryan Rider. I'll never get it right.
Let's ride. Let's ride, Doug.
So
let's talk about that bullpen, too. First off, Luis Ortiz. he came in opening day and just absolutely shut things down. He comes in after, right? Yeah, just, you know, we'll get to Bailey Falter's disaster. We're going to start off with all the good stuff first. But right. He comes in after Falter gives up 6 runs in 4 innings, and he just looks like a completely different dude out of the bullpen. I mean, 2 dominant innings, no hits, just 1 walk. He struck out. He only had 1 strikeout. But I'll say this, like, just with him and the pitches that he's throwing, it looks like he has more conviction. Like, he has more purpose when he's coming in from out of the bullpen. And I think some of this may have to do with, it's been widely reported that Luis Ortiz wasn't necessarily the best preparer for his starts, you know, over the past year or so. He didn't really take the scouting report part of starting seriously. And that may have been something that contributed to really just taking a step back last year. But this bullpen, Luis Ortiz, where he just comes in and he's facing 6 batters. He's coming like, hey, eat up 2 innings for us, Luis. Empty your tank. He's looking really, really good.
Yeah, he's looking like September 22, Luis Ortiz, where he just sort of came out of nowhere. I mean, we'd heard and seen a little of what he was doing, but he wasn't really that much on the radar. And now, right, he is coming in. It's okay, maybe I haven't studied the matchup reports. I'm just going to let it rip. He looks confident. He like you said, he's pitching with conviction. He looked sort of lost on the mound most of last year when we saw him. And he has not looked like that in these 2 games that he's pitched. And I understand a young player with the kind of stuff that he has. It's easy to think, I don't need to look at scouting reports. But, you know, hopefully getting, you know, kicked in the mouth last year because I want to see him, I do not want to see Bailey Falter start again. And I know we're going to discuss Falter, but I would like to see Ortiz starting or Priester starting, but not old Bailey. But yeah, the bullpen was terrific again. I mean, it was 7 innings without giving up? I guess it was 5. Ortiz does his thing. I mean, Aroldis Chapman, that was just fantastic, just dominant. I mean,
I'll say this with Chapman, like Chapman, that was I don't know if it's possible for a pitcher to look more dominant than Aroldis Chapman looked today. Like, he just had complete control of every batter he faced. No one had a chance today against Aroldis Chapman.
Didn't stand a chance, right? I mean, the posing, the grin, a little personality. Yeah. It was fun to see and something to look forward to the rest of this season. Certainly takes the pressure off Bednar. We don't have to pitch him 3 days in a row. We don't have to overwork him because you can just throw Ortiz. Chapman in there. Well, you could probably throw Ortiz in there too. So yeah, the bullpen. I mean, we've said it all offseason. The bullpen is going to be the strength of this team, and certainly the strength of the pitching staff, and it has not disappointed.
Yeah. Kind of going along there, we talked about Ortiz, talked about Chapman, Ryan Borucki, the birthday boy, the Easter birthday boy, a scoreless inning, perfect 1-2-3, 2 strikeouts, just ho hum, just
your patented, a little nerve wracking there with that that third out.
Yeah, but just like your patented Ryan Borucki outing, where he just comes in and he just gets the job done.
Remember when we were talking about how much he stunk last year?
Hey,
I mean, wow.
Don't say we there. I was no part of that.
Me neither. I was on board, but yeah.
Let's talk about, and Hunter Stratton too. Hunter Stratton, non-roster invitee, breaking the team, breaking out of camp with the team. Really like to see that. He had some success in a few outings last year with the Pirates, looked great in spring training this year. Didn't give up a run all spring. He comes in. And he looked really good. Like, he gives up that leadoff single in there in the 10th inning there, but then he just bounces right back, gets a huge pop up, and then strikeout to end the game.
Yeah, it's he's a nice story, and he does not. I mean, he looks really good, right? And yeah. I mean,
the stuff looks good. Innings, like,
yeah, But yeah, right. And he's kind of a sixth inning guy for us at this point, right? Yeah. I mean, this bullpen has just so many. I mean, again, when you can, you know, you can pitch Jose Hernandez in the 12th inning of a game and, you know, Ortiz, you know, for the 10th and 11th, what have you, and then have him pitch in the 5th and 6th, the versatility, the depth, and again, just able to, I mean, because this starting pitching is going to test this bullpen. There's no doubt that. So, I mean, we have the depth and it looks like we're going to need it. So, it's been fun. And these guys, again, they've got great stuff. They all look in midseason form. They look ready to go. They all look like they can pitch the ninth inning, which is just, I mean, really something.
It's a really, really deep bullpen. David Bednar back pitching back-to-back days for the first time this year. He didn't do it in spring. So this was really his first chance to do it. He gives up the home run to tie the game to Nick Gordon. I'll say this with Bednar. It was a bad pitch, but like the rest of the outing, I thought he looked great. I'm not sounding any alarms over David Bednar. He made a bad pitch. Nick Gordon made him pay. But the other, I mean, strikeout, ground out. Like it was a bad pitch. And sometimes when you make bad pitches to major league hitters, sometimes they make you pay.
Yeah. I remember that happens. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going, you know, the entire season without giving up a home run. So it happened today. And best time for it to happen. Team's on fire, you know, and they bailed you out. So, right. And he's probably not completely ready. He's not completely in form. He's going to have to pitch to get there, and we can protect him. Right. We don't have to overuse him. We're not desperate. If the situation calls for somebody else, that's okay. We can go with Chapman. We can go with Rucky. We, you know, Stratton on and on. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm not worried. And just, again, I'm really looking forward to watch this bullpen all year long.
Yeah. All right. Time to talk about Bailey Falter. We talked about a lot of good stuff. Let's talk about Bailey Falter. Before we get there, though, guys, we've got 70 entries into the free sandwiches. So keep them coming. Hashtag raise it in the comments. All one word. Hashtag raise it. You can use capital letters. You can use lowercase letters. We confirmed all this last night just to make sure everybody knew. Capital letters, lowercase letters. You can say words and then include hashtag raise it. But as long as you comment hashtag raise it, you are in the contest for two free Primanti Brothers sandwiches. So get those comments in here. But yeah, Bailey Falter. I don't think it could have possibly gone worse for him today, especially the timing of it. You know, like you had Jared Jones's outing yesterday where he just looked so electric. You had Paul Skeens yesterday pitching in Indianapolis, going three perfect innings. He looked absolutely ready to go as a major league pitcher. And then you throw out Bailey Falter today. And he gives
don't forget
up.
Quinn Priester had gone 5 2/3.
Quinn,
what I'm saying?
True.
The guy that maybe, it's like, Bailey Falter didn't need to go 5 perfect, but it would have been a lot better if he'd only given up a run or two, right? Not a great slam in the first inning.
And it was just a terrible start, right? He walks Luis Arraez to lead off the game and like just missing the strike zone by feet, like multiple feet. Walks Josh Bell. So back-to-back walks where he's just all over the place, gives up a hit to Jake Berger, De La Cruz singles. So it's 1-0. You're facing Jazz Chisholm now with the bases loaded, and he serves up an absolute cookie, to Jazz Chisholm Jr. And he launches it, 424 feet, a grand slam. So you're 5 batters into your first start of the season. You have not recorded an out. And you've let all 5 of them score. Just a dreadful, dreadful start. He did some, I guess you could, if there was a silver lining, he's somewhat settled in there, right? He retired the next 3 batters, pitched a scoreless second, pitched a 1-2-3 third. He gives up another run, though, with a home run in the 4th to Avisel Garcia. So, you know, the final line, it's not good. 4 innings, 5 hits, 3 walks. He gives up 6 runs, all earned, 2 home runs. But Yeah, talk to me about Bailey Falter, Doug. I mean, Tyler, during our prediction episode before the season started, he said over under 15 starts, and I said way under, and I'm feeling really, really good about that decision right now.
Yeah, it's, you know, he was terrible all spring. I think he had one outing that was kind of decent, but then followed that up with just a dreadful, you know. We were disappointed when he was named a starter. And, you know, I'll be the first to tell you that everybody in the Pirates is smarter than me, but man, do they look like they're missing this one. I have no idea why he's starting. And if I remember correctly from last year, he was best when he was the second guy. You know, they would bring someone in, he would pitch for an inning or two, and then Falter would come in. I think I remember him one time coming in third or second or third inning and then pitching six really good innings, that sort of thing. But I don't ever remember him being good as a starter, even when it was just as an opener. It doesn't seem to be the right role for him. It does, you know, he has bad first innings. You know, and then, right, completely understand why Skeens is not up. I support that. I get it, you know. But I'd rather see Ortiz at this point. I would rather see Quinn Priester at this point. At least that way you feel like maybe you're developing something, right? I mean, Bailey Falter is what he is. I'm not sure. I mean, you know, he's at best. He's the worst guy on your pitching staff. I mean, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. He is the worst on the staff, I think. I think we can all agree on that. I think I want to leave Ortiz where he's at. Like, he's looked really good in this role. And I think, like, you know what, let him do this for a while and let him just gain a ton of confidence, down the road. If you want to try him back in that starter role, I'm good with that. But like, he just looks really comfortable and really good right now. I think right now, if I was going to choose another guy to maybe plug into that rotation, maybe Priester, but honestly, I think we're just to the point right now where you're dealing with Falter probably because Priester obviously has things to work on. We all know that. Right. I think right now though, you're just like, we're going to have to deal with Falter until either Domingo Germán or Eric Lauer are ready. I think that's kind of where we're at.
You're probably right. And it does make sense to leave both Priester and Ortiz where they are. Let them build confidence. Let them work on the things that they have to do. If Falter is going to open, I think Ortiz will get lots of opportunities to pitch multiple innings. I think, is Roansy back now? I know Hernandez was sent down. I'm not sure. But
so Contreras came back today. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, he'll get, you know, I mean, it seems like you could see quite a few starts where Falter goes two bad innings and then you bring in Rowe for two or three and Ortiz for two or three. And that's just what you're going to have to do, like you said, until Germán or Lauer or, you know, because Priester, you'd like to see five, six, you know, one good outing in AAA, it does not a MLB career make, you know. So, you know, let him work on the things he has to do. You've got two veterans. They're probably next in line. And then whenever Skeens can get here, it's going to be harder and harder to keep him down if he does what he did yesterday.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. I think that pretty much covers everything. I mean, the rest, like I said, we talked about the offense and how the lineup really just did a good job having good at bats today. Triolo, one of those guys, two walks, two hits, just some excellent at bats out of him throughout the course of the game. Alika Williams coming through with a quote unquote triple. Thanks to Brian Day. What inning was that? Was that the second inning there? Yeah.
It was the second inning.
It looked like Brian De La Cruz had never stepped foot on a baseball field before in his life there. He dove for two balls that he really didn't have a chance at. And it was pretty rough, rough inning there for Brian De La Cruz, but the Pirates were able to kind of chip away there thanks to some hits. But Hayes also another multi-hit game and a walk. Reynolds a hit and a walk. Reynolds extended his on-base streak to something like 32 games.
Can I say I'm sick of that? I'm sick of that already because they mention it every at bat. He's now continued. All right, fine. Yeah. It's really only four games. I don't really care that, but I mean, I understand that it counts, but Let's come up with some other details about Brian Reynolds to discuss.
Yeah, so I mean, just an all around good game from the offense. I'm going through here. All nine starters recorded a hit. Like I said, Rowdy Tellez coming through. He was having a rough game. That 3-run homer was just massive. Just a huge homer there. You mentioned Olivares. He had a big hit that inning. Sawinski struggled a bit at the plate, obviously. He faced some lefties today too. I think he had 4 at bats against lefties, but he goes 1-for-6. But yeah, everybody got a hit. Michael A. Taylor comes in, you know, as a defensive replacement late in the game, 1-for-1 with that big RBI walk. So right. he's looked good. Hopefully making Tyler eat his words there.
Right. I'd be defending Michael Taylor saying, look, he didn't play much in spring. It's going to take a little while. No, I haven't had to do that.
Yeah, no, he looks good. So, all right, let's, you got anything to add here before we get to some sandwiches?
No, let's get a sandwich. Let's get it to somebody other than Gabe. Gabe has got his too. It's fine. Now it's time for somebody else. We love you, Gabe,
We do love you, Gabe, but we want to spread the wealth a little bit. You're technically in the contest, right? So you could win. That would be kind of crazy. I don't know what the odds would be, but we've got 74 entries. I'm going to give everybody just another minute here to go. Hashtag raise it gets you into the contest. While you're putting in your last few comments there, huge support to all of our NS9 members. We had a massive sign up this week, so appreciate each and every single one of you guys. You know, we love you all for just watching the show, but the fact that you choose to support us even further is super awesome. So make sure you like the video, make sure you subscribe to the page. All that goes a whole long way. So let's get to some sandwiches here. So we have right now 74 entries into the giveaway. Give everybody 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, we're going to run it. And Evan Duncan. Congratulations, Evan. There we go. I got a new winner.
Appetite. So,
yeah, look at the confetti. I love the confetti. The confetti is
right. That's great. Yeah. That is
terrific. Congrats, Evan. Evan, make sure you reach out to us in some way, either on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Discord. You could also email NorthShore9, all one word, @gmail.com. Shoot us over your address and we'll get out some sandwiches to you. Congratulations, Evan. But Pirates win. Pirates win 9-7. Complete the sweep of the Miami Marlins. They are 4-0.
Start the season.
Yeah, 4-0. They head to the nation's capital tomorrow. Marco Gonzalez on the hill, making his Pirates debut against Mackenzie Gore. The Nationals are 1-2, and not a good team. Nationals are maybe a bottom two team in the National League. So hopefully the Pirates can rack up a couple more wins here this series and head into the home opener later next week with a really, really strong start to the season. So again, 9-7, Pirates sweep the Marlins. Appreciate all you guys. You all are awesome. We'll see you guys later.
Yeah, guys, see you tomorrow.
Hey, you all, thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go, Bucks.